Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Are you connected to the internet, that is? The expansion of telecommunications in this country is truly amazing. Today, we're going to look at the ways we use technology and how it has changed our lives. My guest is Deborah Berland. She's the president of Consumer Policy Solutions. Deborah, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Well, thank you so much, Shirley. It's great to be here.
Now, we hear the words broadband deployment, broadband use. What is broadband?
Well, very simply, I think some people remember the days when we used to go to our computers and dial up. Well, for just about all of us, those days are over, and now we're always on. And broadband means we don't dial up. We have a higher speed access to the internet, and we're always on, always able to get on the internet.
Isn't that fabulous?
It is.
It's truly amazing. I remember I used to be a computer programmer back in the days, some while ago. And so consequently, to me, watching the expansion of computers and technology has been truly astonishing. And the ability that we have now to sit down on a computer and almost immediately get information from any place in the world is just, it boggles the mind in a way. And of course, I think the younger generation, they don't even think about it because they've grown up with it.
Right.
But let's look at it in the overall context of what's going on. And then eventually I'd like to get around to talking about something that you have, a project that I think is a very special one to you called Project Goal. So folks, you have to keep listening to find out what Project Goal is because it might affect you. All right, let's talk about it. So broadband, this is something that allows us easy access to the internet. And it's all over the country. I mean, most people have access to broadband now rather than dial-up.
That's right. Most people have access to broadband.
I mean, way over 90% or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So a couple things I want to talk about is how we're doing in the United States with broadband deployment, which means getting broadband out there and getting everybody access, and broadband adoption. So those are two pieces of the puzzle. So let's talk about broadband adoption and broadband deployment. And these are two pieces of the puzzle of a broad plan that the United States has made a commitment to in a national broadband plan that the Federal Communications Commission put together several years ago. So this is a huge commitment to really getting us up to speed on broadband in the United States to get everybody online with high-speed broadband access. So that's this U.S. broadband plan, national broadband plan. So how are we doing? So let's talk first about broadband adoption. Right now, around the end of 2013, about 70% of the adult population have broadband in the home. So that's about 70%. So
let me just stop and ask you a question. That 70%, is that voluntarily have broadband, or some people don't have broadband because it's not available?
For most, it's an issue of voluntarily.
Okay.
Yeah. There are still a small percentage who don't have access. So that's the deployment side, the
right.
access
side. That's the side that you all work with the FCC.
And in many cases, it's in areas where it's very hard to get broadband out there in some rural areas.
Very rural areas, yes.
Exactly.
I know, having served with you on the FCC's Consumer Advisory Committee, I realize, we talked about this so much, the underserved areas, and sometimes it is very difficult. So that's a lot of the areas that the FCC is focusing on right now.
Yes, in terms of the access areas. So we're talking about 30% that don't have broadband, but we're talking about just a couple of percent that don't have access.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a huge gap there that don't have broadband available, but they have for some reason chosen not to have broadband at home, or they don't have broadband at home. And there are several reasons that have been identified for why they don't have broadband. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting to look at is there are other ways in which the statistics break down with other demographic groups. And for example, one group that I'm very interested in is the older adult population. If we look at that community, 47% don't have broadband at home. So we have a huge gap there.
Yeah,
that is a good. We really need to focus on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're working to try and get more individuals to get broadband at home, to find the value. That's one of the reasons why individuals don't have broadband. They haven't yet recognized what is the value. So while you and I see going online every day being of tremendous value.
A necessity,
perhaps. There are many other individuals who have not yet recognized that value.
Well, and that's probably people who aren't familiar with computers. And also
yes.
Maybe they may find the financial that they'd have to commit to be difficult.
Exactly. There are other issues as well. And there are efforts to address some of those issues as well. So there's the financial issue. There's another big issue, digital literacy or being comfortable with using technology. There mm-hmm. are many individuals who are concerned about, gee, you know, how do I use a computer and is this going to be easy enough for me to use? And we'll talk about that a little later as well. So those are how the statistics are looking in terms of adoption. So we have a ways to go yet. And that's something that we need to focus on.
Okay. But I would bet that in our younger population, this is almost 100% usage.
You know, the younger you go, yeah. the higher it is.
Right.
100%, we're probably,
not
you know,
there yet, but
not
plus.
100% with anyone, but we're real high when we get to the low numbers.
Right.
And I always like to use this fun statistic, Shirley. I'll just throw this out. And this is 38% of those 2 years and younger are using digital devices. So, you know, if you think about your toddlers on the iPad swiping, it's happening. So, you know, when we think of 38% of two and under and 47% of our 65 and older, you know, there's something kind
there's
of
a gap there.
Yeah,
there's a big gap.
There's a real gap there.
Well,
but
the senior population should find it useful in communicating with the younger population.
That's right. Exactly.
Especially if they're in different geographical areas. I mean, you know, that's
right. Exactly.
I remember the first time I got an email from a friend of mine who was in one of the Soviet bloc countries, and I got an email from her, and I thought, gosh, this is so cool. You know, I mean, really, to communicate with someone so easily, so far
away. That's right.
It's just kind of blows
that's
your
right.
mind
tremendous,
in a way.
Tremendous value.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's changing our lives. I want to talk about that for a minute when you mentioned about technology
sure.
as well.
Sure. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Wooker. My guest is Deborah Burley, and she's the president of Consumer Policy Solutions. She also serves as the current chair of the Federal Communication Commission's Consumer Advisory Committee, and that's actually, I think we've known each other for a long time, but we worked together on that for a number of years, and you do a great job there, Deborah. So this really keeps you up on what's going on in telecommunications, and that's why you speak with such authority. How are consumers using technology in different ways now, and what do you see evolving over the next few years?
Well, it's a life changer. It really is. So as we look at our consumers and how they're using technology, it's certainly a tool for education. We hear a tremendous amount about how schools are bringing technology into the classroom. Our country has made a commitment to bring technology in, to bring high-speed broadband into the classroom. But also I've seen our educators tell their students, bring your devices into the classroom, bring your own device in, let's use it in the classroom, let's do research on technology. It's a part of education, and that's how it's vitally important that we close the gap there, that we make mm-hmm. sure that students have technology both in the classroom and at home, so that there's no digital divide there in terms of our education as well. Health, there's absolutely no doubt that, you know, half of the population are running around with their devices around their arm to monitor their exercise and I just
how many
read
steps they take
exactly
or whatever.
I just read an article today about how members of Congress are comparing how many steps they each have done as they cross the between their office and the Hill every day. So you know everybody is into tracking their health these days, but even more sophisticated uses of technology for health, for telehealth, for long distance medicine.
Oh, sure. Especially this is important in rural areas.
Absolutely.
Where people can gain access to doctors through the internet that they would not have before.
Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't take the place of in-person diagnosis, but if questions and help can be offered through.
Yes, but in many cases you don't have access, you know, 5 miles down the road to services, emergency
sure.
services that you can actually bring in through telehealth services. Mm-hmm. So tremendous value there. Government services, are more and more services are going online and critical e-government services. You know, let's not forget the value of entertainment, and we've seen unbelievable growth in entertainment and how that has changed through technology. And of course, the value of social networking. And as you mentioned, everyone staying connected, getting connected through technology. So it's just really has changed our daily life.
Continues
to do that.
It is totally amazing to me when I meet someone who doesn't have a computer.
Yeah. And there are so
and
many.
There are some people who
so
don't.
So many.
For various reasons. But it always surprises me. I have one friend and she's always asking me to look stuff up for it. I kept saying to her, I'm going to get you a computer and teach you to use it. She doesn't want to. She just, and I don't think she's afraid of it. I just think she doesn't want to be bothered. She got me. What can I say?
Right. You know?
But I think generally people are moving towards this so much so. Now let's talk a little bit about your project goal. And I know we have some other things to talk about.
Yeah.
But let's just interject that here because I'm really kind of fascinated by what you're doing. You're working with a number of corporations. And what are your goals for Project Goal?
Project Goal, yes. Well, it's the project to get older adults online, and the objective is to promote adoption of broadband technology for the 65 and older community. Mm-hmm. That's where we really see the drop off in technology adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us who use technology on a daily basis, particularly in our work environment, it's much easier to keep up with the latest technology. And but for those who are 65 and older, there's a real drop off. And if you look at the statistics in terms of broadband adoption, that's where we see the adoption levels drop, you know, and incrementally, and particularly 75 and older, it really drops.
Really drops down.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what Project Goal is doing. We have, you know, we've been just really trying to draw attention to the benefits and the value of going online. And that's where the emphasis is.
Do you think that part of the reason that seniors aren't more online is that they're afraid of it, that they don't understand it, or do you think it's just because they have no interest? Or have you been able to define some of the reasons that people aren't using it?
There's been some good research out there that's been done. Certainly the Pew Internet and American Life Project has done some good research. John Horgan, who's a great researcher, has looked at this question as well. And I think the two biggest issues are recognizing the value and the concern about that technology being overwhelming. So those are probably the two biggest issues. And the question of what do I need it for is one question. And then it's a lot of trouble, and mm-hmm. and also a concern of like what's going to happen to me online. I think a number of individuals are concerned about the safety issues about mm-hmm. being online. They hear about identity theft, consumer fraud, and so they are a little concerned about that online. Mm-hmm. So education needs to happen. They need to see the value. And there also needs to be some helpful tools and education about the ease of using mm-hmm. of using it. You know, I think I'm a real proponent for technology, and I think that technology is really paving the way to make it so much easier to get online.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, tablets are very intuitive to use.
And they're small. They're manageable. You can
handle
them.
They're manageable, exactly.
Yes. But, oh, I have a tablet. I just absolutely love it. And combining that with a smartphone and a desktop computer, I guess I'm hooked up.
Yeah. So, you know, I think technology is helping to address some of the issues. But, you know, I think technology can help go a lot further as well to help that community go online and use technology.
Well, you know, one of the major problems with the senior population may be lack of mobility, lack of communication with others, depression that oftentimes comes with it. I would think technology could help fill in some of those gaps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, it really helps with the isolation factor of, mm-hmm. you know, many mm-hmm. seniors live alone.
Well, if you can go on Facebook and see your grandkids' pictures there smiling at you, running around, jumping and happy, I mean, that's going to kind of feel good.
Really? And be able to video chat, to be able to talk to
and
them long distance.
Particularly people who are not as mobile as they age. So
absolutely.
There's a lot of things there that I could see that would be of great value. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Deborah Berlin. She's the president of Consumer Policy Solutions. And we're talking about some of the uses of broadband, what it's done, how it's changed our lives, and how it's reaching into the inner nooks of our country and what it's doing. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, Deborah, one of the big things is our young people and using this as an educational tool, using it in college. But then there's also the possibility of going to college online mm-hmm. if you're an adult.
Right, right.
So it's all kinds of things.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
What are some of the other things that you're looking at? What are the issues that you see coming around the corner?
So, you know, there's a huge change taking place in the way we use our telecommunication services. So, in fact, such a huge change that some of us may not even realize that it's a change.
Mm-hmm.
There have been studies done to look at our home telecommunication services. So, let's talk about how we now make voice calls from our homes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this transition going on, and now we when we make calls from home, it's interesting that 41% of those of us in our homes have cut the cord. We are wireless only.
Mm-hmm.
What a huge change that is
that
from
is,
just a
right.
few short years ago. So we have 41% wireless only. And then another change that has taken place now is that some of us are using what is called voice over the internet or VoIP is the other word for it, for our voice calls. And
that means that they're not using the cell towers, the mobile
they're not
service.
Using
they're using the internet to actually communicate. Yes,
but for voice,
right.
And they're not using traditional wireline either plain old telephone service. I don't mm-hmm. know if anyone's ever heard of that. The acronym is POTS service. They're not using traditional landline telephone service. And so nationally now, only, let me see what my figure is here, only a total of 26% approximately have plain old telephone service. And that's shocking from, you know, maybe 10 years ago when everybody had that.
I still have a landline in my house. I just find it more convenient. I have a phone in every room. I don't want to have to carry my cell phone around from room to room. Now, is there an answer to that? How does one, if you decide to cut the cord, you're going to cut the line, or whatever you want to call it, and go to cellular or VoIP.
Right.
You carry your cell phone around, you're married to it, it's going to be a part of your body. I mean, is that what happens?
Yeah, if you're wireless only, you just have that wireless phone in your home, which is the case for 41% of individuals.
No, that's surprising that it's that large.
Yes.
Already.
Yes.
But then you're saving yourself a lot of money. The telephone companies probably, they're all into cellular now anyway. And of course, the way we deploy cellular is changing. And
absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, for those who find that they have that they are using a wireless plan, don't feel like they need to pay the additional amount to have a landline phone.
Right, right.
And for those who say, I do have a phone in my home, it may not be that plain old telephone service. It actually may be a VoIP service. So if you have a Comcast package,
sure,
and you've got cable and voice, you don't have traditional telephone service.
You don't. That's
you
right.
have a voice over the internet service.
Right.
If you have Fios and it's a and you have internet
and phone
service, it's not a you're not getting traditional telephone service. So you're out of that.
And a lot of people probably don't even give it
much
thought.
So a lot of people don't realize it. But this is a brave new world we're in now, and slowly there'll be fewer and fewer people on that that old traditional system. So that's a huge transition, and the FCC is looking at that. And we call this the IP transition. And slowly, you know, we're going to be moving off of that old traditional network.
Yeah.
So
I'm aware of that.
That's a big issue.
Testing it. So
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, what do you? What's the most fun thing about all this? Working with seniors and seeing progress being made and seeing people suddenly finding technology and how thrilling and exciting they find it?
I think the most exciting thing about this is seeing all the change. And I think that it's recognizing all the issues for consumers. And so I'd like to quickly kind of talk about what those issues are that I see for consumers,
Okay. The
most important things that I think consumers have today, the choice that consumers have. So all the things that technology and have brought for consumers, the choices that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for consumers to have these choices and the affordability of these choices, that they have good information about these choices. I think that's really important, good education and information about these choices so that they can have what they need to make good choices. What I think is really exciting is the innovations that have come about as part of this. I like to say that consumers want more of everything, and they really do. They want more from their devices and the networks they run on. We need an environment where innovation and investment can occur. We've had that over the past decade or so, over a very kind of light regulatory touch that we've had has given us this innovation that we've had. And I also think that, you know, when we talk about where consumers have been with adoption, that, you know, we need to make sure that they're ready for the digital environment they're in. So,
yeah, that they're prepared and they understand it and feel comfortable with it.
Exactly.
I can totally, totally agree with that.
Exactly.
And it's Project Gold. You have a website, Debbie, that we can give out?
I do. I have the Consumer Awareness Project, which is where I have a lot of consumer education information.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can just look it up.
And the Project Gold.
Project Gold. G-O-A-L, just like that. Thank you ever so much for joining us today. We've been talking with Deborah Berlin, President of Consumer Policy Solutions. I'm Shirley Rooker. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on 1500 AM. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email is shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.